myself, who has been in East German and Soviet prisons and prison camps for 9.5 years, and by Colonel King, the commanding officer of the U.S. Army Hospital in Berlin. Colonel King has generously agreed to release Mr. Noble from his care, especially for this press conference, and upon its conclusion, Mr. Noble will return to the Army Hospital here, where his physical examination will be completed. We've asked Colonel King to be with us today, since Mr. Noble actually is still in his charge and care. Mr. Noble has agreed to this press conference to relate to you the experiences that he has undergone, both in East Germany and in the Soviet Union. I think you all know that he was released by the Soviet authorities on Saturday, January 8th, at approximately 3 p.m. He is now awaiting return to the United States, to Detroit, Michigan, where his father and mother live. Without further ado, I will turn this press conference over to Mr. Noble, if he so desires to make a statement before questions are put to him. That is his privilege. I am going to set forth just one simple rule for this press conference, and that is that no one who is now in the room may leave this room until the conclusion of the press conference. That rule is established for good and valid reasons. First of all, we want to preclude the possibility of anyone getting a beat on this particular story by leaving the room and relaying information to an assistant outside. We have assistants at the door, and we ask your cooperation, please, not to leave until the conclusion of the press conference.
Domer, what about the camera?
There's been some question concerning the activity of the newsreel and television cameras during the press conference. We will try it to see how much noise is made. If it's too much, we will request that they withhold their activity until the conclusion of the normal press conference, and I'm sure that Mr. Noble will be glad to cooperate and say a few words for recording after that. Is that satisfactory? Proceed, please. Do you want to make a statement first? All right, he'll make a statement before the questions, please.
I only want to make a short statement stating that, first of all, what everybody can imagine, that I can hardly imagine how the things have come that I really have returned already. No one of us, being there in the Soviet Union, ever expected to return without special action of the government or some change of the political line. In general, I want to say that if you have any questions to ask me the questions direct, and as far as possible, without going into the details, I'll give you a general picture of the situation of the past 9.5 years in Germany, as well as in the Soviet Union, in the camps in which I've been. I haven't made any preparations because, being in the hospital, naturally, under physical examination, and I haven't had any opportunity of standing before the press or things like that before, so please ask the questions and I'll give you the answer as straight and as honest as I can, and try to give a clear picture so that everybody sees and hears exactly what's going on behind the Iron Curtain, as we call it. So please shoot ahead whatever you want to know, and I'll try to answer it as good as possible.
Mr. Noble, what's...
Sit down.
Mr. Noble, what would you say is the worst thing that you think happened to you in these 9.5 years?
Now, the worst thing actually is falling into the Soviet hands, because who's once there, he'll hardly have a chance of getting out again.
How many different camps were you in the Soviet Union?
In the Soviet Union, I was in 3 different camps. 2 up in the far north and 1 near Moscow.
What were the first 2 you said?
Up in Vorkuta in Polar region.
What sort of work was going on in those camps?
In these camps, in general, mining work was going on, coal mining.
Coal?
Coal mining, yeah.
How many Americans did you see in the camps?
Actually, I only saw 2. One, Marchuk, who returned with me, and the other, William Verdeen.
What did Verdeen look like?
Verdeen, he's not in the best shape. He's slim built and not exactly that I could say he had any sickness of any kind, but very weak.
Did you see any British subjects fall while you were in the Soviet Union?
Yes, there. One was Chapman. I don't know his first name. He was up in camp department number 10 where I was.
Camp number 10, you said?
Camp department number 10, yes.
In Vorkuta?
In Vorkuta, yes.
Did you work as a miner?
Yes, I also was working as a miner for some time.
How long have you been in this particular line?
I can't say exactly. Approximately also 3 years, 3.5 years, something like that.
Did you have the opportunity of talking with him?
Yes, I had the opportunity of talking.
Did you know when he was taken prisoner or
when
he was arrested?
No, I don't recall.
Do you know his age, roughly?
His age was about 35, maybe.
And what his job was, or what, had he been a soldier, or?
I can't say at the moment.
Was he in good shape?
Yes, he was physically in fair shape.
And you have no idea of his name, or how you talked with him before his job, or Jack, or Bill, or something like that? You can't recollect his first name, or?
No, I only saw him several times because I was in this camp very short.
You have no idea of the name at all.
Only Chapman was his name, but
Chapman.
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 Are there many Germans who work in Germany?
Yes, there are a great deal.
How many?
It's hard to say. Several thousand.
Were these camps mainly for foreigners, or were there?
No, there were Russian camps in general. At first, when I came up there, they were partly political. Partly for political prisoners and partly also criminals. But later on, more and more of the criminals were taken out of these camps.
Could you describe the living conditions for them?
Well, the living conditions, they were very, very poor.
Barracks?
In barracks, yes. We were in straight barracks.
Were there any Frenchmen there?
Yes. In one camp, there was one Frenchman. René Ferrick was his name. René Ferrick. F-E-R-E-K, I guess.
Would you say that at any time during these 9.5 years you were given any sort of brutal treatment, going up to torture, beating, anything like that?
No, I personally wasn't tortured in any time, but other people were tortured around me.
Do you hear of any other Americans
that might have been? I've heard of some, but not their names, and not exact place where they still are. Some pilots which were shot down over the Baltic Sea, as well as some Koreans, from some American soldiers from Korea, also being kept in Soviet Union.
Were you mistreated at all during your prison?
I personally not. Pardon?
What is your estimate as to the number of prisoners in these camps where you were?
In the camp in which I was first, there were about 4,500. And the other one was smaller, about 2.5.
Both were in Vorkuta?
Both in Vorkuta.
Were there many polls and checks there?
Yes, pools are required a lot. Chicks, single ones. Only single chicks.
Were any of the prisoners in your camps that you attended forced to attend any indoctrination lectures, the communist theory at all?
Not in the camp in which I was.
Was it never mentioned at any time?
There were lectures there, yes, but nobody was forced to go to them.
Were you there during this rebellion in Wakuda?
Yes, I was. Well, in general, I mean, I can't go into the details because it'd be too long, but in general there was quite some trouble up there and also quite a lot of blood was shed. Pardon? Excuse me?
I didn't...
At the strike time up there in Vorkuta, that was in end of July, beginning of August, 53. The workers had gone into a strike, of not of all camps, but of a great deal of the camps. Approximately 80 to 100,000 prisoners were on strike. And in the camp number 29, the guards opened fire. Immediately after the fire raid, approximately 100 or 110 men were killed at the place. Later on, still about 50, 60 died, and 400 or 500 were wounded.
So 110 were killed immediately?
Immediately, yes.
And 50, 60 killed later?
Died later of their wounds, yes.
What did they use? Submachine guns, machine guns, or what?
All kind of weapons.
Did they use heavy based machine guns?
Also heavy based machine guns. There were about 800 guards around the camp.
Were these Red Army guards or special camp guards?
No, there were special guards which were sent up there to break the strike. The reasons, we're not sure about the reasons. Anyhow, it was a result of Stalin's death and the disappearance of Beria.
Was it spontaneous or was it organized?
Pardon?
Did it happen spontaneously or was it organized?
No, it was organized.
Were any leaders of the rebellion or the strike singled out for individual punishment?
Yes, a great deal of them. I don't know exactly how many, but from the mine I was in, about 300 people were taken and later on sentenced.
What was their nationality?
All kind of... Most of them were Soviet citizens, but from all parts of the Soviet Union. There were very few, with the exception of Germans, there were very few foreigners among them.
Those were the leaders. Did the foreigners take part in the strike too?
I didn't get you.
You say the leaders of the strike were Soviet citizens. Did the foreigners take part in the strike?
Yes, they all took part. Practically all in the camp took part.
Would you say that there's an organized, there's an organization of the prisoners for further type actions?
I don't know for sure, but I would say that it probably was organized from the Russian authorities themselves.
What, the strike or the...
The strike, yes. With cooperation with the prisoners.
You mean the officials in of the prison helped organize this strike?
The officials, some officials, yes, because of the split in the government, also split the organization and the camp administrations.
This springs from the Beria business, you mean?
Yes, from the Beria business.
Is Vasily Stalin in Wakuda?
Beg your pardon?
Vasily Stalin, some of the...
No, I only heard that he was in the Lubyanka in Moscow.
Heard that he was in Lubyanka.
Yes, it was known.
Did the condition change after the strike? Were there any release of...
No, there weren't any releases, but the conditions were much milder after the strike.
What happened to those Soviet camp officials who helped the prisoners organize the strike?
I don't know. A lot of officials disappeared.
Are the guards killed?
No. No guards killed.
Now, the torture you were talking about, was that after the strike?
No, that was before.
That was before the strike. How did you know about the torture?
At the time I was imprisoned, I saw a lot of this torture going on.
What shape, what was the form of it?
Well, there were all kinds of torturing, as far as beating was concerned, as far as isolating the people in special cells, just about everything, what you can imagine and what you can't imagine was to be seen there.
Was the strike organized by Beria or by his enemies?
No, I couldn't say. So far we didn't have the possibility of seeing into the thing so far. But I would say from officers who were on Beria's side and wanted to bring the power back to Beria's group.
In other words, these officials were MVD people, the ones who helped the prisoners?
Yes, they were MVD people.
They seemed strongly divided between the Stalin and Beriento?
Yes, there was a great difference in my opinion.
After the revolt was put down, there was no more trouble?
Yes, trouble continued. It wasn't quiet after that.
What sort of trouble?
And there was much sabotage going on the mines, on behalf of the miners.
Could you give us a specific idea of what kind of sabotage?
Well, to go into the details would probably be too much, but things like blasting electric stations and blasting the main shafts of the mines and such things.
You give an estimate of 8,000 to 10,000 individual camps in Kokuta. Can you give any approximation of the total number in all camps? I take
130
of
them. In Vorkuta? Yeah. No, in Vorkuta much more. In Vorkuta there are approximately 500,000 prisoners.
Divided into camps,
yes.
How many?
Approximately 500,000.
And how many camps?
I would say between 150 and 200 camps.
How many times a day were the prisoners fed, and what were you fed?
In Vorkuta we had 2 meals a day.
Two?
Two, yes.
What were you fed, in what quantities?
The main part of the food in the Pular region consisted of cabbage and some kind of grains. Very seldom other vegetables or meat. I should say fish we also had quite a lot up there.
During your 9.5 years in captivity, was there any occasion, any one occasion on which anybody, any Russian, told you why you were in, you were being held?
Yes, there was an occasion. The interpreter who filled out the warrant of arrest for me, he was later on in prison himself, and he told me that the reason for arresting my father and I was for the reason of allowing the American soldiers and officers to come over to our property in East Germany and having a stock of American Army food products in our house. That was the official reason for the first arrest.
Where did you get the American Army food?
The American officers and soldiers brought it along when they came over to support the former American prisoners of war which had come to us.
Never stand trial, Mr. Eric?
No, never. I was never actually charged of anything.
Did you ever get any?
I was sentenced to 15 years, yes, but the actual reason for sentencing wasn't told to me. When I asked, they told me to find out in the camp where I had come to. And when I got there to the camp, they told me, you should have asked there where you were sentenced. Actually, one was dodging the other. That was on the 10th, on the 8th of August, 1950.
Did you get any news in the camp while you were there? Such things as the American elections and like that. What news do you remember hearing during the period?
Yes, at the time I was in Germany in camp, we had German newspapers there, East German newspapers naturally. And now in the last half year in Pochma, near Moscow, we also had German newspapers and also Russian newspapers.
Were you ever subject to brainwashing or given political instruction?
No, not that I, at least I personally never was.
You say you were sentenced. Were you present at a trial of any sort?
No, no trial of
they
any
sort.
I
just told you what you were sentenced.
There was a officer and, no, I should say, he was an officer, yes, but at the time when he gave me my sentence, he was in civilian clothes. And an interpreter, also in civilian.
Where was this that they told you this?
In Weimar.
In fact, most of the inmates of Rakuta are Russians.
Yes, they are. Not Russians, but Soviet citizens, yes. The most of them, I should say, are Ukrainians.
Are there any women there?
Yes, there are, a great deal.
Do you have any women in school with your sentence?
Pardon?
Do you have any women in school with your sentence?
No.
Women do the same work as the men in Rakuta?
In the time I was up there, most of the women were working either on the railway, building the railway lines, or working in the brick factories. Some also were working in cement factories, but I didn't hear or see of any women working in the coal pits.
Did you ever hear any reference to an American former German by the name of Erika Glaser Wallach?
No, never heard of her.
When they escaped from the coal?
Yes, they were, but all people who escaped in the time I was there, they were caught again.
What was their punishment?
For being caught.
For escaping.
For escaping. Up to 1948, the punishment was death for escaping. And later on, I don't know. Two people who escaped short before I left the camp were also brought back. They also were expecting death.
What nationality were they?
Mostly Russians or Ukrainians.
I mean these two, the last two.
These last two yes. were Russians. In the Soviet Union, it was prohibited. Every religious service or even the possession of religious books was prohibited.
Did you work just 7 days a week? Or?
We had three free days in the month.
Were there any religious service secretly?
Yes, there was some secretly going on.
How many hours a day were you supposed to work?
At the time I was up there, we had 8 hour work.
Just once you're in the mine or going to the mine?
No, actual work in the mine.
Did you always work in the mines?
No, I didn't always work in the mine. First I worked on the surface of the mine, then later on in the mine, and in the second camp in which I was working on the lumber yard.
What did you do in Dresden during the war?
During the war? We were so-called local interned. We had to report to the police every third day, but I was going to the factory of my father, and I was working there in the factory. In the evening, I was going to evening school.
Can you tell us what happened the day you were arrested by the Soviets?
Well, that's a long story. I don't think that we can make that. And in general, I was arrested in July 45. After 14 months being in arrest, I had my first interrogation. Up to that day, I wasn't questioned in any form. I beg your pardon?
What were you manufacturing in
Dresden? In general, our cameras, the same cameras we produced before and after the war.
So Minimax?
Minimax? No, it was Camera Works, Seinoble.
What were the working conditions like in the mines where you worked? Were there many accidents?
Yes, there were many accidents, some intentionally made and some real accidents, because the whole construction of the mine was much too weak and much too primitive.
Was your factory during the war under the control of the government authorities?
No, it wasn't. No.
Did the Russians give you any
When I was released in Moscow on the 6th, or rather I should say on the evening of the 5th, the Russian general told me that I was to be handed back to the American authorities, and for this purpose I would leave Moscow on the 6th with a train for Berlin. That was all what I was told. My sentence officially hadn't been taken off.
Did you have any advance?
No.
Did you have any advance notice that you were likely to be released?
Yes, it was. The first notice was on the 10th of, on the 9th of June, 45, when I was told to go, to be transported to Moscow on the next day for the purpose of being repatriated. 54.
What type of camp was this camp here in Moscow?
What kind of a camp? It was unofficially called a repatriation camp.
What was long were you there?
6 months, exactly.
And what was the work there?
There was no work there.
Were the food conditions or anything like that an improvement on the other one?
It was a little better than in the working camps, but the fact that there were a great number of Germans or half-Germans there who received parcels through the Red Cross, living conditions were much better there.
I take it from what you said, despite your American nationality, you were extremely well treated by the Germans.
No, I should say I personally didn't suffer, with exception of being limited to the city limits of Dresden. I personally didn't suffer. Naturally, my father, the business and the life in general was naturally hard, and harder even than for the Germans.
Did you notice in
Vorkuta
any kind of tension between the tests of atomic weapons or any atomic activities there?
Yes, there is something being done, but it's not sure. It's only imagination of mine.
I didn't hear that.
I'm not sure about it, but it is possible that this, what is being done, is in this line.
What is it that's being done? It could be.
They are building an electric station there.
What makes you think it might be have something to do with the atomics?
Because there is no need of electric power in this region besides that what we already have there.
Was no electricity involved?
Yes, there is sufficient. And so there would be no need of a second and such an enormous electric station as they are building there.
Say it's an enormous one they're building?
Yes, it is fairly large.
What are your personal plans and expectations now? How soon do you hope to get to the States?
No, I hope to get to the States as soon as Colonel King will release me out of the medical care in which he is keeping me at the moment.
What's the one thing that really kept you going during these 9.5 years?
I should say there were two things. One thing was, I should say, the most strongest was a confidence in God, and the second was the absolute will of returning, wanting to return back to the home for the purpose of telling that, expressing that, what I experienced in the Soviet Union.
Did you make any plans in your own mind to observe as much as you possibly could so that you would be a source of accurate information?
No, I can't say that exactly, but because of my education in the factory and education from the side of my father, I always had the habit of trying to stick my nose into everyone's business as far as that's concerned.
What good did this do you while you were in the Soviet Union?
I should say exactly, as far as I could say, of doing any good, it was only to keep my mind sharp and to prevent me of getting downhearted.
You mean you put your time in a lot of activities or what?
No, I troubled myself about a lot of things that the other people didn't care about. If something was going on or so, I always tried to find out what and why and how and so on.
Can you give a specific example of one incident?
Well, I mean, incidents, there were daily incidents of more or less importance. So.
Did you ever receive any mail during these 9 years?
Yes, I did. A Red Cross card written by my aunt. I received this on the 27th of September, 54. That was the first and only mail I got.
You spoke of there being many thousands of Russians in this country. Do you have the impression that they accepted their citizenship, or that they were alienations?
In general, I would say that they accepted their sentence pitterlistically, because they knew that they were against the government and they had fallen into the hands of the MVD and weren't in any form disappointed about this whole situation.
What was the length of the voyage today in the process?
At the time I was there, 8 hours. Yes, naturally, under guard.
How did you come along with your Russian prisoners? Did you speak any Russian?
At the time I came to Vorkuta, I didn't speak any Russian at all. But I was forced to learn so much Russian in the camp because I was only working together with Russians.
How good is your Russian now?
Pardon?
How good is your Russian now?
I really can't say. I mean, I don't know what you consider as good or not good. At least for the camp life, it was sufficient.
Is there any distinction shown between you as an American and your Russian?
On behalf of the Russian authorities, no, none at all. On behalf of the prisoners among themselves, yes, I must say that I appreciate very much that they've helped me a lot.
They showed great way.
As far as the food conditions were concerned, in the hardest times, where it was the hardest for me, for example, at the time when I came up to Vorkuta, and I was not used to the climate. And also, in general, they helped me along in every form because I was quite helpless, not speaking the Russian language, and only very few Germans there with whom I could speak some words of German. So I was quite by myself, and they helped me along quite all right. They only had the nickname of American, not more.
What are the chances for a revolt today?
In these camps? No, I would say the chances are very great. You only have to have a start.
Are there any signs of satisfaction among the...
Dissatisfaction? You mean dissatisfaction? Among the guards, yes, there is. There's a difference, a great difference in the there's a great discooperation between the guards with the red shoulder boards and those with the blue.
Did the Russian prisoners show much curiosity for you as an American? Did they ask many questions about what it was like in America?
Yes, they did. Naturally, they didn't believe 10% of that, what I told them how the life was. So as, for example, if I would tell you about private life or in the Soviet Union, I believe that 90% of the people in the United States wouldn't believe it would be possible to live under such circumstances.
Did you ever get in contact with Russians other than prisoners or guards?
Yes, there were possibilities. For example, when I was working in the coal mine, I was in charge of a bathroom for quite some time where there were three engineers in this bathroom. And I had quite a good view into the private life of these people at the time of my stay up there, as well as their previous life before they had come to the north.
About how many were in each of these barracks?
How many men in one barrack? Approximately 100.
Were they bunks with tiers? What sort of bunks?
Yes, they were like bunks, but double story, or shelves, I would call them.
Any blankets?
Yes, we had blankets, but these things like blankets and sheets, we got them near 51. Up to that time, there were no blankets, no sheets. In general, some people had.
How much per day, per week, or per week, or per day, per month?
The pay?
Yeah, what do you pay?
From 1952 on, we were paid, yes. And depending on the work we had done, received different from 150 rubles up to, for a worker, up to about 300 rubles. For the headman, up to 500 rubles.
Could you buy anything there?
Yes, there was a possibility. We had stores in the camp. But these stores only had the products, high-priced products, which they couldn't sell outside in any of the other stores.
Did many people in the camp die of disease or starvation or overwork or abuse?
At the time I was in Vorkuta, not so many, no. But in Germany, in the camp, yes.
Any suicides?
Suicides? In the prison, yes. But in camp, I didn't hear of any suicides.
You say 300 rubles, what would that be, a month or a week?
That's a month.
What was the difference between the guards with the red and the blue board?
Actually, the difference I can't tell you, but the guards with the blue are MVD guards.
And within the past 2 months or a year, have you seen any religious awakening among the Russian people? And if so, what evidence do you see?
Yes, there is. There's a great desire among the Russians to for religious service, for religion in general. But they are very afraid of the reaction on behalf of the guard or the government.
What evidence of this do you see, especially among the young people?
No, I should say that almost all the youngsters tried at least to get into possession of some religious books or something like that, trying to find a way to the religion.
How much weight did you lose in 1.5 years you were there?
It was quite different. I had times when I was far down and then times where I was better off than I am now. And the lowest I have ever weighed myself, I was down lower, but the lowest I weighed myself was 47 kilos. So I was down, at least down to 45.
What's your normal weight?
My normal weight, I really can't tell you. In the wartime I had a weight of about 60, 62 kilos. No, no. Now, in the last time, there were mostly political prisoners. But first, there were all kinds, criminals and murders, everyone, everything mixed together.
What happened to the Russians? What happened to the Soviet citizens who repeat their sentence?
They have, most of them are forced to stay in the North. But some have the possibility of leaving the North. It depends on their sentence.
You mean they're released from the camp?
That are released from the camp, yes. The most are forced to stay in the North.
Could you give us a rough idea of the number of foreigners who were in Vorkuta?
Number of foreigners, including Germans, for
yes,
example, because Germans
foreigners
are allowed. That's hard to say. Not less than 5,000, I'd say.
Not less than
5,000. Now, the Red Guards, were they the guards? Were they Army, Red Army?
Yes, they were members of the Red Army, but sort of a border guard, I should say.
Did any families live up in Vorkuta? Were any families imprisoned in camp?
No, not. No families together in prison camp, no. It happens naturally that the husband's in one camp and the wife in the other. That naturally happens. But not that they're living together in camp.
Did the prisoners spy on each other?
Yes, there was quite a lot of this going on in the camp.
Were there particularly prominent people that you knew up in the camp, in Germany or elsewhere?
No, not that I know.
You got any thoughts on another war?
Yes, certainly. I should say that the prisoners are almost all waiting for it.
What about the Soviet Guard? Soviet people are committing this battle.
These people, they are standing halfway, the free people, because they see that the situation is becoming a little better in the Soviet Union, but they realized that it probably would go much quicker after a new war.
Were there any improvements since the seats recognized?
Yes, there were some improvements. No, not food, but so the order inside the camp was much milder. For example, we only had one roll call instead of two. The barracks weren't shut after the evening roll call, and the bars were taken off from the barracks, things like that. Actually, only a form of making life more easy.
Can you elaborate on Stalin's son being in Lubyanka? Where you heard that?
No, I can't say exactly from whom I heard it, but from people who had come from the Lubyanka.
And they told you that when you were in Moscow waiting to come back here?
No, I heard that up in Vorkut already.
I wonder if you could give us the dates of your various moves from camp to camp and so on. Do you recall them in any detail at all?
No, there are quite a lot of quite a lot of moves.
I was
moves,
thinking the three camps and the one here in Germany. When did you leave Germany, do you remember?
I left Germany on the 17th of August, 50.
And went direct to Vorkuta?
Well, I passed through three prisons on the way up to Vorkuta, yes.
Yeah. And then transferred from Vorkuta in June of 54, is that it?
In June 54, back down to Moscow, and from Moscow here to Berlin.
How were you transported from Germany to Russia, along with other prisoners?
Yes, we were quite a large transport. We were sent in a disguised prison car.
Was that you sent out?
In a disguised prison car.
You say you were treated better in Russia than you were in Lubyanka.
No, I can't say that exactly, but the hardest time I had in Germany, in prison, that was in Münchner Platz, in Germany, in the prison. But Münchner Platz.
Dresden.
In Dresden, yes.
What? Dresden.
Did you ever hear of your father during this time?
Well, I was together with my father until February 50. Later on, I have never heard of anything until I got the first card from my aunt.
You didn't know he'd been released, or?
No, I didn't know, but I believed he was released.
When the Russians released you in Karl's horse, then did they give any explanation? What did they say? I mean,
no, they didn't. They didn't tell us a word. Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing at all.
Did Private Bonchek tell you how he happened to fall into Soviet hands?
Yes, he told me that he was drunk in the east zone of Germany. In the east sector of Berlin, excuse me.
I don't think we ought to go into Marchek. Let's don't go into Marchek.
Is this off the record, just what he said about being drunk?
Yeah.
I hope everybody understands that. That statement you made the other night didn't seem to be understood by everybody.
Well, it should be. It was made plain enough.
Well, this, everything about Marchek said he is off the record.
No.
Fine. Why?
Marchek's under investigation.
He's under arrest.
He's under investigation.
Is he under arrest?
Well, he's being detained.
Yes, he's in
the rest. Did you talk much with Verdeen?
Yes. I was together with Verdeen until the 2nd of January this year.
I'd like to return to this point for a moment. I think Mr. Noble is in charge of what he said was on the record or false, but nobody else.
As long as we all agree, let's on it off.
Ich bin ein bisschen. The suit that the residents gave me on the 6th of January, on the day when I...
Yes, everything, everything from top to bottom.
Did they take you around Moscow and show you any Moscow?
Yes, they showed us Moscow on the 5th.
Was it a sightseeing tour, a regular sightseeing tour?
Yes, we were accompanied by the officer that accompanied us down to Berlin, and we were placed in a brand new car and driven around Moscow to see that what we should see.
Is that what was that? Suit, according to Russian standards?
This year? As the Russian officers told us, the best suit you can get in Moscow. No, we were only in the art gallery in Moscow, otherwise. And the subway we also visited there.
You were a prison, you wear a prison uniform in the camp?
No, we had the camp cotton clothing, the same as all the people up there in the camps had.
Was there a curfew in the camp? Did you have to light up the
sun? I didn't get it.
Was there a curfew in the Bakuda camp where lights out and certain
Yes, there were certain periods, but for what reason, I don't know.
Mr. Noble, the picture you made of life in Bakuda doesn't seem too horrible to me. Do you want to elaborate on it a bit to tell me the horrors of it? Because I don't quite get it. You didn't get too much to eat, I gather. You don't care for cabbage, but...
Well, it's not only that.
It's not only basic training.
The life up there is hard enough, and if I wouldn't have been so healthy as I was, I wouldn't have overstood the life up there.
How cold was it, Kevin?
In general, we had a temperature in the winter time of 35 to 40, 45 degrees of Celsius, naturally.
Below zero, I think.
Below zero. The coldest I ever met up there was 72 degrees below zero.
Was there any heat in the barracks?
Yes, we had.
Would you say that figure again? 72?
72 is the coldest. That was in the first months of 1951. 72, yes.
First month of what?
Of 51.
Was that before or after you were blankets?
Before off blankets?
Before or after you started to receive blankets in the camp?
No, that was before.
That was before. Did you keep warm before you had blankets?
Well, we had all our clothing that we had to cover ourselves with.
Were these wooden huts or?
In general, I mean, one or the other had a blanket, but in general we weren't issued blankets up there at that time.
Were these wooden huts or mud huts or?
No, they were wooden.
Huts heated?
Yes, they were heated.
Did you work on that day of bitter cold or were you confined?
In general, the rule was so that up to 40 degrees below zero, all work had to be continued on the surface. Under the surface had to be continued at all times.
Mr. Noble, could you tell us, describe for us the treatment you received with the solution of pots?
The treatment?
What happened?
Yes, I could go over that in a rough form. The treatment there was, in general, so that I believe to be correct to say that 80% of the people that had this treatment died.
What was the treatment for?
First, mainly in form of the starvation. First of all, we had 12 days completely without food, without any food. And then a half a year of improving food gradually, going up from 50 grams of bread a day up to 200 grams of bread a day.
Who ran these camps, the Russians or the Germans?
Only Russians.
Were you forced to work at all in the uniform class?
No, we weren't forced to, but I had the luck to work, because that's probably that what kept me on my feet.
How long have you been?
I was 14 months there. Only cleaning up, and then after a while, registration work, bookkeeping work.
What kind of Germans were there? Nazis?
In the camps and in the prison? All kind of people. People which were arrested because of their political activity during the war, as well as people which were arrested because of spy activity or being suspicious of having any spy connection after the war.
Americans and
in the prison? No, not at the time I was there. With exception of my father, naturally. My father was there too.
Were there any British in the top school?
No, I don't recall any.
No, sir, no.
No.
Did news of the June revolt in Germany, 53 June, Russia?
Yes, it did.
Did that have anything to do with the revolt in two camps?
Not that I know of.
Well, so you lived in Berlin and Putna then on the 2nd of January this
in Putna, on the 2nd of January this year, yes.
What did you hear about the East German revolt?
No, we only heard so much as was possible to read in the East German newspapers.
Was it publicized by the Russians?
Yes, it was. I mean, I don't know the details of it, so I can't say exactly if they published everything or only a complete wrong picture of it.
They didn't try to suppress that news.
No, they didn't.
I'd like to interrupt just for a moment to say that there are some West Berlin correspondents here, German correspondents, who desire to cover the formation of the new government down at City Hall, which is scheduled for 3 o'clock. This conference is running over a little more than we had contemplated. I would suggest we have 3 more questions and then close it in order to accommodate these people who want to leave. Are there any more questions?
Was there any romance in Vorkuta?
No, not that I have no ever heard of.
Was there any kind of prisoners administration or prisoners organization, official organizations, in either one of the camps or in the whole of the Vorkuta setup?
No, there were.
Is Verdeen expecting to be repatriated?
He is waiting for the repatriation. But
has he been told anything?
I'd like to interrupt this moment concerning Verdeen. Anything that may be said about him at this time may jeopardize the efforts of the American Embassy in Moscow to obtain his release. So please act accordingly. We have time for one question. If not, thank you very much.
Thank you.